Hey guys, welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast where we talk about the things in pop culture that matter and ask the question, but why though? Today's episode is a super special start to a series that we're calling Missions That Matter, and this is going to be talking about all the work that fandom communities are doing in various charity spaces. Today we're going to be talking about StackUp.org, which is a military gaming charity that focuses on helping veterans both in and out of uniform. They do everything from sending luxury supply crates, as you'll hear in the interview from the founder and CEO, Steven Machuga, to fostering communities that help deal with the mental health issues that can happen after deployment. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
How you doing?
So I'm really excited to start this series. For those of you who've listened to us before, we will now be doing a special charity episode once a month to kind of tap into why these things really matter.
Yeah, and I guess to start off here, I kind of wanted to ask both of you, why do you guys want to do this, or why are we doing this, I guess from your perspective?
AJ, do you want to go first?
I just think because we have a platform to do it. You know, our podcast is all about why things matter and what can matter more, you know, in the world than charities and people doing good things for other people. The first one that we're doing is Stack Up, and it's really one of the first ones. It's really one of a kind, and one of the first ones where I was like, wow, I mean, this is something that I can do myself, which we'll talk about, you know, later on how people, even non-veterans, can get involved in something like this. And just being able to do something that matters is, you know, always good. American dream and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree, Adrian. That's one of the reasons why I think we've always highlighted charities when we do our recap episodes of cons, because they're actually doing things and they're mattering. They make stuff matter by actually helping people, which is really great to see. And I also think that mainly, StackUp was the first one I think I actually got introduced to. And I was like, wow, games?
Yeah, it was at PAX South, I believe.
Yeah, no, it was before that, because we actually met them at South Bys.
Yeah, we met them at South By and TwitchCon and other events previous years, but I think the first time we actually were totally introduced, I guess, Steven, and possibly more found out about them was at PAX South.
Yeah, that's right. We did get to talk a little bit with Steve on our PAX South recap episode. What about you, Matt? Why do you think this stuff matters?
Say the same thing you guys would concur with. I mean, they do a lot of great work for communities. I really enjoy a lot of what they do, especially StackUp, as far as we're going to go into it, I guess, talking about their military and they do gaming, which kind of applies to a lot of my life. Some of the other ones are great just because, I mean, you go to these conventions and you see them where we've introduced to a lot of them, and so, I enjoy this stuff. They're doing their part to not only be there in what people enjoy, but also helping people in a greater scheme.
Yeah, I think overall this kind of is the message behind this little series that we're doing, is that the stuff we love can be used to do good in the world. And I think right now with world events and life the way it is, I think it's great to remember that the power you find in your fandom, you can use to help others, and there's always an outlet to do that. So just a little bit of a background of what you're about to hear. We have pre-recorded an interview with Steve Machuga, and we will be kind of taking Neil deGrasse Tyson's way of star talking this episode. So what we'll do is we'll play clips of the episode, and then we will respond to it, or clips of the interview, my apologies. And then we will respond to it. We did this so that we could make sure that Steve could get out everything he wanted to say, and we could really put the charity on a platform that we have. We really appreciate you guys listening, and we appreciate your love of games and comics and Star Wars, and we want to show you outlets that y'all can use to do things. So,
yeah.
Yeah, y'all want to jump into it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Today we have a special guest, Steve Machuga, founder and CEO of the military charity StackUp.org. And they aim to help veterans both in and out of uniform with the positive aspects of gaming culture. Thank you for being on the show, Steve.
Glad to be a part. Thanks for having me, Kay.
So first and foremost, I want to know why you founded StackUp. What really drove that?
As a veteran, there's a couple different stories here. As a veteran, gaming has always been the through line of my life. No matter what I was doing, whether I was high school, college, going into the military, coming out of the military as a government contractor, whatever I was doing, it would always be a race to get home so I could go play video games. No matter what I was doing, however old I was, it was always like, all right, I'm taking the suit and tie off from work, and now I'm, you know, it's literally that cyanide and happiness gif of the guy. I don't know if you see this. It's a deep cut, but there's a cyanide happiness gif of him literally taking off his clothes, wearing his underwear, jumping into a chair and sliding across the room to get to his, you know, computer. And it's like, that was very much my life for a long time. It was like, just, and gaming has always been the through line of my life, no matter what I was doing. So when I was deployed overseas, one of the things we would get, you know, civilians back home were, you know, way interested in helping out veterans deployed overseas. It was very much like a, hey, we're doing our part kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The problem there lies, not everybody really is as motivated to support as possible. And a lot of the times you get things like, donations to the troops or donation to anyone, any charitable organizations turns into like this fifth grade canned food drive mentality. Wow. Where everybody runs their house, they sift through their, you know, canned goods, they find a dented can of yams, and they bring it in, and they're like, I'm helping. And you're like, all right, now we have 26 dented cans of yams. We've really done anything. And no, you really haven't. Like, yeah, sure, we're going to be good for a little bit. But there are things that guys overseas want and need more than whatever garbage you can find in your attic or trash that you're like trying to get rid of and get a tax write-off. And that was a huge piece of it. Just being able to like, hey, I've been over there. I know it's like going to prison for the most part, where you're stuck somewhere you don't want to be for a full year. You're away from your friends, your family, your community. You can't do anything. You're just stuck, and there's nothing but time in front of you, no matter what you're doing. Some people have it worse than others. And it's just literally gaming was the thing that helped get me through my time overseas. So StackUp started as little more than a luxury care package service to support veterans. I was like, hey, what do you guys really want? And then over time, as the organization grew, it started to be more about the medical benefits and medical support that gaming and, community around gaming provides veterans. And, you know, the offshoot, like, this was not the original intent of the organization. Like, we were just trying to help and get guys what they wanted, you know, like, hey, I want the new Call of Duty. All right, well, let's get that. Let's actually get with them what they want. What a novel concept. And then over time, it turned into, well, hey, let's have a gaming guild, and we can all get together and tell war stories to one another. And suddenly you have guys who are really having problems in their lives, and they're doing Destiny raids or things like that, but they're talking to one another, and folks that wouldn't go to a psychiatrist or, you know, don't open up to anyone. They'll sit there and sit, you know, while they're running a Crota raid in Destiny or World of Warcraft or any of that stuff, they'll just sit there and talk about their problems and, you know, all the anxieties and issues that are associated with it. And that's it suddenly started to make us look inward and go, well, wait a minute, there's definitely a lot more here than just getting guys video games. What are we trying to, you know? And so we've kind of adjusted fire, and now we're almost more of a medical support agency, where it's like, wow, we're able to provide support to veterans who are, you know, desperately in need of something to take their mind off where they're at. So now we're sending gear to veteran drug and alcohol rehab centers and homeless veteran relocation programs, and anywhere where there are veterans with little to nothing to do, and this is a good way to keep them occupied and online, talking to one another and not alone, because veterans, when they have it, when they are injured, both, you know, physically and mentally, they have a tendency to withdraw and mm-hmm. not interact with other people. And that's where you get this staggering suicide numbers from. And the objective is to be able to keep guys in a community and keep guys talking with one another, make them feel like they're a part of a family. And that's a huge piece of what it is we do now.
Wow. So, yeah, I think that's a really powerful opener. And I kind of want to throw it to you guys, mostly because you guys come from, I mean, I have a military family tangentially. So like my grandpa was in World War II and my uncle served in Vietnam, but like my dad wasn't in the military and I don't have a sibling in the military. And I know both of you, you two come from really strong military backgrounds. Matt?
Yeah. So as she said, I come from a strong military background. My mother's in the Air Force. Her current husband's in the retired.
And your mom's deployed right now, right?
Well, she does something different. She's not deployed. She's deployed now, right. But it's something different. She also was deployed plenty of times. Both my brothers, all my brothers have been in the military branches. One in the Navy, two in the Army, and whatnot. So they kind of talked to me about this before, about like what he said, where they just. There's a lot of times where there's just not a lot to do. I mean, they do their work. They're out there for, you know, months on end. And it's kind of like, what do we do in our downtime? And they're just kind of having games and something to do and people sending them more than just, as he put out, a can of yams means a lot to them in the grand scheme.
What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, I have huge, huge military family on both sides, my mom's side and my dad's side. They joke constantly that my cousins and I are the only generation, like ends like a long line of military family since like World War One.
Wow.
Because we all decided to go to college instead. But yeah, I have, you know, family all over the military. So, and I live in El Paso, which for our listeners is one of, you know, a huge, huge military town, with Fort Bliss being, you know, right in our backyard. So I've been surrounded by military almost my entire life. And when we saw Stack Up at South by Southwest Gaming the first time, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is something to do. And then when we got to talk with Steve at PAX South earlier this year, it really got me wanting to do more for it, and, you know, led to me trying to start up the Stack here, which he'll talk about Stacks during the interview, but starting our own Stack here in El Paso to do the same thing that Steve's talking about, but right here in El Paso with our, you know, our rich military background and all of the family that I have here that are military. So 110% behind, you know, everything he said in his opening.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I thought was really important. So I don't know if I mentioned on the cast before, but I actually do a nonprofit work, so ally training. And for those of you who don't know, to be an ally means to you know, pretty much stand side by side with somebody of a marginalized group or a group that needs help having their voice heard. You can be a veteran ally, and the first thing we teach in our ally training is to, you can't just assume that what you're doing is helping. You actually have to listen to these people, and you have to not only give them what they need, what they want, but you also have to let them talk for themselves. And I think that this is like hearing that Steve himself was a vet. Steve understands where this is coming from, and from what it sounds like in the rest of the interview, gaming being the through line of his life has also helped him really understand both sides of the coin and how they're really, I mean, I guess not both sides of the coin, but the fact that it's like, if this was a Venn diagram, the military and gaming are both in the middle. And I thought that was really powerful. And I think because Stack Up is a nonprofit, in the nonprofit space. And I think now with a lot of people wanting to help out, it's just kind of like, well, I'll just do this, or I see everybody else doing this one thing, I'll jump on that and I'll do it. And I think what he really touches on is you have to do more than that. You have to listen, and listening, actively listening, is like the first step to helping people. And I guess the second thing is I actually have a published article in a journal talking about the importance of video games, particularly Second Life, on helping disabled communities, people within disabled communities, live able-bodied lives through video games in a way that they wouldn't be able to otherwise. When we got introduced to him to Steve at PAX South, and listening to him talk about it, I had never made the jump to be like, oh, well, these are actually, I mean, an ideal with anxiety myself. It's not to any point which these veterans deal with the struggles that they have. And the fact that Steve recognized that and the group recognizes that and are actually moving outside of just, oh, there's this one other veteran charity that we can help, but he's actually reaching out to alcohol and drug rehab facilities, homeless facilities, for vets. Like, he's trying to help vets.
How about we just let him tell us?
Yeah. Well, he did tell us.
And yeah, but I mean, let's have him tell more.
Okay.
My next question, which was, what separates you from the other military charities that are out there? And it's sounding like a lot of military charities that are out there tend to focus on the active duty and maybe not so much the vets.
Well, there aren't. There's a reason why a lot of these. There aren't any other organizations in the game space. I mean, that was part of the why I started it in the first place, which was I used to work with the individual who created Extra Life. His name's Doc.
Yeah.
And back in 2009, I worked on his website, Sarcastic Gamer. And while that was starting to take off, I was like, I appreciated what they were doing as an organization. Like, they were making a difference. But not having any children or sick children or anybody in my family who had kids that were sick, I really didn't have that drive or desire like that. This is a burning passion or mission of mine. And when I went off on my own and decided to start my own thing, it was like, well, what draws me? And it all came together because, you know, I don't know if I told you about the care package that really brought it on home for me that we got while I was in Iraq. But I was part of an infantry company in Iraq. And we got a crate full of third-hand Harlequin romance novels sent to us from a library that was trying to downsize its inventory. And it was very much like that was very much the, okay, these people, you got to be kidding me with this. And there's a bunch of dudes in this, you know, first off, not a lot of readers in my group. And secondly, it was a bunch of dudes. So it was like, all right, well, yeah, all right. There's not really a lot of use out of these. So we ended up using them as target practice on the range. So when we would get, you know, weird weapons and we wanted to fire some rounds through them, it gave us something to shoot at. But outside of that, it was very much like that was like the thing where I was like, okay, this is really ridiculous. Like, don't just send us your trash. Like, this is not of use. Or you get the everybody thinking it's, you know, you're in Vietnam and they're sending baby wipes and foot powder by the truckload. You have just closets and closets and foot lockers and full of the stuff. And it's like, all right, guys, I don't know who told you we needed this. One, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, just having the insight of being able to know that situation and know everything that was sent to us and just go, okay, all right, you know everything they're trying to do? Don't do that. what the guys actually want. And then it was like, oh, hey, turns out all those kids that are being raised on iPads with Minecraft on it, they're wearing uniforms now. You know, they're in the service. And the number of people I talk to my age who are like, well, I don't get gaming, but oh my God, my son or my daughter, it's all they do. It's like, yeah, I know. Those are going to be our next congressmen and senators and captains of industry. And, you know, leaders out there, those are the people, they are all being raised on technology. So we just happen to be a little ahead of the curve when it comes to all this stuff, because, you know, it's no long gaming, as you're well aware, you know, you know, with the posters behind you on the wall podcast, you can't see, but she has these vintage comic book posters on the wall. We're kind of taking over the map. I mean, you know, Marvel movies are now, you know, Deadpool first, what, $1 billion? And we're winning. We're winning this war as far as the nerds versus the jocks. We kind of took over.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, all right, well, let's let's continue to support. Even guys who don't play video games overseas find themselves like, well, I've got nothing but time over here. I guess I'll figure out video gaming. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, this turned out to be pretty fun.
Yeah. So,
you know, that we pick up more recruits while they're deployed overseas as well.
What did you guys think?
I enjoyed that part a lot just because, well, for one, he mentions like the new people bringing up. Well, as I said, my brothers are all in the military, and you know, they're a lot different than my parents when they were in the military. They play games. They go overseas. They play a lot of games. And it's funny because I tried to call actually one of them when I knew we were going to do this episode to, you know, try to get his inside opinion on this because I knew it before. And he apparently actually already deployed, so I wasn't able to talk to him, but I was able to talk to his wife. And she told me, yeah. And without me even mentioning to her, the first thing she said was, he's gone on a boat, but yeah, but it's not going to be this bad at the time. He went out and bought a Nintendo DS, and so did his shipmates, so they could actually keep play together and play something while they're underseas. And since I guess the DS connects linkage-wise and not so much needing Wi-Fi, which you don't get underneath the water, obviously, as well, that's what they did. They went out and bought games to play on a submarine. And that was just kind of blew my mind listening to her say that. And obviously, knowing the interview, without me even having to, you know, bring this entire thing up, she just mentioned that. And I know them play a lot of games. I just, that's what I enjoy about listening to personal connection with the nerds winning the war.
What do you feel about that, Adrian?
I think it's entirely, you know, accurate. Matt's other brother.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was actually stationed in Fort Bliss, and that dude played more video games than anyone I've probably ever met in my life. Other than, like, Matt, and he was in the military, so, like, there's obviously a market for this stuff. I know when I was playing World of Warcraft again, you know, for, like, the 15th million time a couple years ago, somebody on my friends list messaged me, and I was like, oh, man, like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, you know, I'm just over here in Kuwait playing World of Warcraft, and I was like, oh, okay.
Depending on the year, they might have been with my brother. Because my brother went out of town, that's all they would play MMOs. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
So,
and even,
you know,
some of those friends that we happen to play with today, like that we met, that he met through his, when they were deployed. Every MMO you can imagine. Yeah. Because they suck time.
I will never forget. I worked at the GameStop right next to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, and we'd get military guys in all the time. And there were these two really good friends who were about to go on deployment. They came and they each bought a PlayStation, and they each bought like 10 games each, and they each bought it. They bought like three controllers, like enough to fill up all the ports. And we were like, wow, you're spending a lot today. He's like, yeah, we all chipped in to do this. And it was everybody that was going to be deploying chipped in so that they could buy all this stuff for them to use. And they actually chose this the PlayStation because the PlayStation wasn't region specific, so they could take it with them everywhere. And they could, you know, they weren't restrained by anything. And I think that was my first moment when I was like, dang, military guys and girls and women, like military people game a whole bunch. So I thought that was, I think that was my first connection. And actually my cousin who was in the Marines, he's always online. And I think that's actually his way he keeps in touch with his old, platoon? Is that what it's called? I apologize if I'm not using the right language.
I think it just depends on what branch you're in,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, he was a Marine, so.
I guess platoon would be. Platoon. Adrian, you got a better from the Marines?
I don't pretend to know the lingo.
Yeah, I mean, I know some, but nobody knows goes Marines. They tried to do. Yeah.
Well, I have an entire family that's nothing but Marines. Or
yeah, if I say anything, I'm not going to get yelled at the next family gathering, so.
That's awesome. That's also very true. gotta be careful what we say there. They take that stuff very seriously. So I think...
you can go into the next part?
Yeah, I think you talked about how they picked up giant supplies to go thing. Talk about what he actually does.
Definitely.
Going off of that, talking about cementing your place, what type of programs do you run specifically? I know you've mentioned the supply drops, the care packages.
Right.
What else do you do?
Yeah. Supply crates are our big boxes full of everything a unit overseas or back home needs to get gaming. Usually it's a console, a couple headsets, a couple controllers, a whole bunch of games, and then whatever swag that developers want to send our way, we'll pop it into a box and send it out. And those are generally the sexiest of the pictures we get back of guys standing outside in front of a HESCO barrier with all their gear on, holding up copies of video games, and that's some cool stuff. So that's where we started, and then as we grew as an organization, our programs continued to grow. We have our air assault program, which is where we fly disabled or deserving and or deserving veterans to gaming events. Like, we just came back last week from probably where I'm sick. just got back from the Destiny 2 reveal event because the Bungie folks. So we had a bunch of guys out there for that because they invited us out, and we made sure we were able to bring some huge veterans who are also just ginormous Destiny fans. And like, we're going to be doing a tour of Blizzard Studios for E3. And I mean, all kinds of crazy VIP experiences for these veterans who may play games, but, you know, have never left their hometown, or play games, but have never, you know, don't go anywhere. We try to find veterans who, these are unique experiences to, you know, kind of change their, not only their lives, like have a VIP experience, but to let them know that they're not alone out there. Let them know that they're a part of a larger and ever growing community of veterans that are, you know, and both veterans and civilians who are gamers. It's no longer this weird thing that, you know, your 40-year-old kid living in your basement eating Cheetos and, you know, playing video games all day. Like,
you don't have to hide your video games now.
You've got, you know, commercials for the next Assassin's Creed playing during the Super Bowl and things like that. Like, it's just, there's no escaping it now. So, you know, we're getting them at all ages, and it's just, we're just all over the place. So.
Responses.
I wish I got some care packages like that for some.
Go serve our country, and then we'll get you.
Yeah, some. This is true. I mean, so I guess the school care package where they send you like a granola bar and say, "Good luck on your finals. Here's a pen. It might, may or may not work." But yeah, I think that definitely not only just, I mean, besides sending supply crates, which is great, but just the fact that they go and find people and bring them to developers and bring them to like events and everything, like you said, people that just don't get to go out a lot, because sometimes when you're in the military and stuff, you could be deployed or called, I guess, to action at any time and have to leave in a minute's notice. And so you can't always just plan your trips all the time. And so I guess the fact that they're able to like take them and give them that experience that maybe they just can't plan out themselves, I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm jelly. Super jelly.
Yeah,
I think, I mean, that's way better than a dented can of yams.
Obviously. I think pretty much anything would be better than even a non-dented can of yams.
And I'm actually, like, I keep, like, when he keeps talking about this stuff and what they do for them and what they want, like, I keep thinking about all the, like, drives we did in like elementary school and middle school, and I'm just like, man, there was a, I mean, canned food drives obviously for like the homeless shelters and stuff at Thanksgiving, but I remember like sending cards, and which I guess are okay, but I also remember like everybody bringing a book from home to send overseas, and I feel like we may have given them a Harlequin romance novel.
Not good.
Come on, like, Kate, how come 8-year-old Kate wasn't sending Xbox Ones and stuff?
Because my parents were poor.
I think the cards are good, though. I think writing cards is very appreciative.
Yeah, I think the cards are good. Yeah, I think the cards are good.
I think
got anything, just not yams.
Yes. Not yams. Or Harlequin novel yams. Books. Or Harlequin romance books. I think the big thing to take away here is actually putting thought into what you're sending. So then that's why the cards are good, because you're sitting down, you're thinking about what you want to say, you're thanking them in a genuine way versus let me take something that I'm not using and send it over, which is very different. So here we've talked about the air assault program and the supply crates. And next we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to Adrian's heart, the stack program.
Yes.
And then our final, oh, geez, well, see, hey, I'm sick. Our final platform on how we are supporting veterans is our, the Stacks program, which is where we, our local support elements, they get out and provide support to other veteran service organizations. They get out and interact with one another. They just kind of get out, do meetups. Like we're getting next month, there's a bunch of us going out. We're doing, we've got about 55 teams out there across the world now. We have wow. Australia, New Zealand, England, Canada, I'm trying to think where else, Scotland. Yeah, we've got teams. They're just getting out there and doing random things in their community to support other veteran service organizations and having a good time while doing it.
So, Adrian, I really want to hear, I guess, a little bit more about this from your end, because you obviously, you did what a lot of people don't. You reached out and you tried to start something and you tried to do something. Like, you didn't just talk about it, you tried to do it. So I kind of want to hear your perspective on like why you wanted to start a Stacks program up in El Paso, really.
I mean, yeah, it was one of those things where El Paso Comic Con was coming up and we were getting off, you know, just have meeting Steve at PAX South. And I was like, man, I really would like to have Stack Up in at Comic-Con or El Paso Comic-Con. So I reached out and it turned out that the stack lead before me got deployed like right when he started. So there's really no stack up presence here. So he was like, well, you know, why don't you start one? And I was like, okay, I think I can do that. So, you know, and the, if this is something that if you, so on their website, you can go on there, like on the contact us part, you get to see where all of the stacks were at, you know, those 55 stacks that he was talking about. And if there's not one in your area, you could definitely start one yourself. And they really give you all the tools to do it. I mean, they send you a whole bunch of shirts. They send you a whole bunch of pamphlets and things like that. They have like a whole manual on how to start your own stack in the area that you're at to kind of build that program. And like I said, I'm in El Paso. We have Fort Bliss, one of like the largest military bases in the country. We have a huge, huge military population here. There's already military, you know, there's a military gamer supply, which we talked about in our El Paso Comic Con episode. So there's an avenue for it. Just no one had done it because, you know, it's hard for, you know, for these active duty people to run a stack because, like Matt said earlier, like they're going to get deployed in a moment's notice. And that's just unfortunately what happened. So I think as a civilian myself who has, you know, a little bit more free time on my hand, and I'm not going to go anywhere, and already knowing where to go and how to do it with some of the organizations on in El Paso, I thought, you know, who better than me to get it going? So now that I have all my supplies and everything like that, and after this episode drops, I'm going to be doing it a lot harder this summer with school out and, you know, people looking for stuff to do. Lots of people will be playing video games, and what does Stack Up do better than play video games? So it's definitely accessible for everybody and anybody to get involved, for sure.
I think that's awesome because I think that's a big component that gets left out when people think about nonprofits of any sort. And I think specifically military, like doing something from a distance is great because you're doing something. But on top of that, if you can actually get in there and engage with the community around them and make them feel like they have a home, like in what they love and what they do, going to meet up with them, running raids with them, like that's real support. Like that is a support system. And I think that these stacks, like, I really can't say much because I'm just taken aback. Like, I'm taken with a lot of emotions for them. Because, I mean, I've talked a lot on the shows about communities, and I think building communities to create inclusive spaces is really, really important. No, yeah. Important.
I mean, the community is great. They have their own Discord server. Stephanie Owens, who is their Stacks program director, mm-hmm. She was the one who reached out to me, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm a civilian, and you know, I'm the Stacks program director. So, you know, just them being supportive of being like, yeah, you don't have to be in the military to make a difference in this organization. So the community itself is very, very, very strong.
I feel like with a lot of these programs, and especially this one, it literally just takes time and effort.
Yeah.
Yep. If you're willing to give time and put some effort into it, you can pretty much, they'll do everything else for you.
Yeah.
They'll help you in every way possible as well.
Yeah. It's kind of like this podcast. Like, I already watch and play all the stuff we're talking about. So, you know, what effort is there on my part? Same thing for, you know, a lot of people who don't want to maybe not maybe take a stack lead kind of position, but you already play video games. You know, why not do that in a charity atmosphere with veterans and in support of veterans?
Yeah, very good.
I think that brings us into the next section.
Yeah,
pretty well.
Very nice. Congratulations, Adrian. Doing a great job.
Actually, yeah, like I am.
I try really hard.
No, I think we need to. Asa needs to drop in a round of applause. Thank you, because giving your time to an organization like that, it can be hard. And I think taking that extra step is something everybody can do, but not a lot of people will follow through with. So I think like that's really amazing.
At the time of this recording, like it's in its infancy. It's like me, Stefani, my significant other, and like my family. So if you're listening and you're from El Paso and you want, if this is something, if you're this far in and this is something that you're interested in, drop me a line and we'll make this El Paso stack the best it can be.
Yeah, I will go ahead and include Adrian's contact info in the show notes so you can get in touch with him so we can start something up.
Yay. I think that transitions us great into the next question that we have is how do people get involved, Steve? Like, if you're like, is it only for military veterans or active duty? Can civilians be involved? What's the best way for our listeners to go out there and help Stack Up?
Absolutely. We got a variety. You go to our website, stackup.org, stack-up.org. You head over there. There's a variety of different ways that you can help out. You don't have to be a veteran. This is not, we're not excluding anyone. That kind of goes against what we're trying to do as an organization. Everyone is welcome. Obviously you need to support veterans. That's really the only, that's really the only, requirement. But head over there. We've got a variety of forms that you can fill out. Like, do you want to do Twitch streams? Do you want to, do you want to do something local? Do you want to just play games with our guys? Do you want to hang out? Are you interested in helping out grow the organization? Are you interested in doing artwork? There's a million different things that need doing as a, an organization that runs on volunteer support. So never, there isn't a day that goes by when we have some streamer who has like double digit followers who's like, I want to help, but I'm too small. It's like, it's not about the size of what it is you're doing. It's the effort that you're putting into it. And I'm definitely of the mindset, like, I'd rather have a dollar from a million people than $1 million from one person.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the effects of that. We just finished, we're wrapping up our May Call to Arms event where we looks like by the time we're finished, we should be at $250,000 raised throughout May. That includes Humble Bundle. So that's kind of cheating, but we were made one of their charities for their Tiny Build Humble Bundle this month. So those Humble Bundles are huge donation platforms for us. So big thanks. Shout out to Humble Bundle and Tiny Build there for this one.
So if you didn't believe us what we said beforehand, you heard it from the man himself.
Yes.
On how to get tough and do everything.
And I think, and he talks a little bit about Twitch in this next segment, but I think this is something really great to start thinking of. You don't need to have a massive following to just do a charity stream. And get involved that way. If you're going to play 10 hours of video games on a Saturday, why not try to raise some money while you do it? And then another thing, we buy games. Like, as people who play games, we buy games. And using a video game storefront like Humble Bundle, and it's an app, you can download it, you can go to the website. What that does is a portion of the video game that you buy goes to a designated charity that month, which is why you gave them a shout out, because it's a really great way. If you're going to buy something anyway, why not do it on a platform that gives back?
I'm glad you explained that. I wasn't 100% sure on what Humble Bundle was. I'd heard it, but I had not, like, really.
They got a shout out. I had to explain
it. Well, obviously.
Let's get into the thick of it here. Yep.
That kind of leads to, I guess, our next question is, what exactly was the Call of Arms for 2017? We saw
Call to Arms. That's the name of our big focal points throughout the course of the year, for fundraising, which keeps the lights on for our organization. Believe it or not, it costs a lot of money to stupid things that you don't think about when it's like, oh, it's $8,000 for a state audit of your financial records. It's like, okay, that's not what I want. I really don't want to spend that money on it. You know, when I thought about when I started doing all this in 2010, it was just like, I'm just going to help veterans. And then when you get larger, oh, now we have a lawyer on retainer. And it's like, okay, now we have workers' comp. What the fuck? That's the amount of money that you have to spend on administrative nonsense is just absurd. So we did just get our report back from the IRS, our 990 paperwork, which gave us a 91% as far as our dollar to mission ratio fiscal responsibility, which is really good for, you know, here. So we are quite happy with that. But it involves bringing in a lot of money and having to spend it in ways you don't want to spend it on. But we do end up, you know, we do end up spending a lot of money on, you know, veterans and our mission. So in order for us to keep doing awesome things and employ more people and open more offices and do crazy things like that, it requires a regular, you know, refreshing of the pool, so to speak. So we have to reach out to utilizing streamers and developers and Twitch and Beam and all these organizations, which is the other, I don't know what we would be doing without, like, if Twitch did not exist right now, which it did not exist the way it exists back in 2010 when I first started this, where if we had, like, we raised $12,000 our first year, and it was just like, holy cow, look at all the money we brought in. And now it's like, that's like a pretty good weekend for us now. And it's like, but that said, it also comes in and goes right out the door as quickly. And it's like, man, you know, $100,000. All right, well, that'll last us like 7 months. It's like, whoa, all right, okay, I guess we got to figure out when we're doing the next thing. So, but yeah, it's one of the things I did not expect when I started doing this stuff was the constant fundraising that, you know, we get to do our mission, and that's great. But the nasty side of the conversation is, all right, well, it requires money to do this. And I feel like, yeah, National Public Radio constantly just banging on people's doors and be like, hey, if you want us to keep doing this, we need money. And it's not what I expected when I first started doing this, but as it gets larger, it just turns into this constant chase for dollars. And it's kind of a bummer. Like, that's not why I started doing charity work, but in order to actually make an impact that people can feel, you need to bring in dollars. And so Call to Arms is our annual, it's our year round fundraising engine over on Tiltify, where if somebody wants to do an event for 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend, and they just want to, like, I'm going to put together models of Huey aircraft or Huey helicopters. We've had some crazy things happen, but, you know, that's where people go and they raise money for us. And we, you know, that's a huge piece of what it is we do as an organization. So
that's awesome. And I will include all these links so that if you're listening out there and I'm urging you to get involved. I'm pretty sure we all are. I'll get all the links from Steve and put them in the show notes so that you can find out what way works best for you and get involved and help fundraise. I guess this...
another big thing, making sure, like, see that you just did it yourself, where it's like, and you can get out there and fundraise. It's like, oh, that's not what we want to. Because it turns into such a large portion of what it is we do. Sometimes it's hard to remember, hey, we got to get out there and support the veterans. Like, it's like not just about the fundraising. It's like, what are we raising the money for? Oh, that's right, so we can do more stuff with veterans.
91%.
91%?
Yes. That's a high number.
Yeah, I was like, why don't you tell the listeners why that's such a high and a good number?
I mean, it's a good number because, I mean, basically, if you look at it, I mean, 90% of the money they make, at least from my understanding of this, 91% of the money they make basically go towards basically their charity work, whereas the 9% is their overhead cost.
Yeah. And I think to put in perspective too, like if you put this like with other charities, and then I think one of the biggest, I guess, controversies with charity like was the Susan B. Komen, like everything's pink, but then they rarely actually use.
Yeah, so they have basically their expenses end up actually costing more than how much they donate, so then they end up paying, you know, you get like a random number. It just basically means if you gave them $100, 91 of those dollars is going to go towards whatever you towards the better programs. Yeah, towards the programs, and $9 is going to keep the lights on.
Yeah, which I think is awesome, and I think it reaffirms like the fact. Well, like it's awesome because I think now with the transparency with nonprofits and stuff, like everybody's looking at their financial stuff because you've had like a few bad apples are making people like really look hard at other places.
It is fair because it's been one of the biggest problems with nonprofits that like for being nonprofit you sure have a lot of profits.
Yeah, no, and I know that's been a really big, I mean, a big critique with a lot of some of the cancer foundations or even ALS and everything. And I think the fact that one, he was really open with the numbers, and two, like, damn, that's a good number.
Yeah, and he's still like, I hate doing this.
Exactly.
Like, so even though they're doing well at the fundraising part of it, he still doesn't like doing it because all he wants to do is
help.
He just wants to do his original mission of helping veterans and active duty military. Like that's all he cares about.
That's why I kind of like when, as much as we ran it, was he corrects Kate when she mentions fundraising, and he's like, wait, the whole point's not necessarily just fundraising. I know it's a horrible, or not horrible, but a side of it. But the point of the matter is, we want you to be there for support.
Yeah, so like if you fundraise,
great.
Also be there in other facets too. And that's what he's going to talk about in this next part.
So,
I was going to ask, so because I know you mentioned with programs too, like even if it's somebody who's not like fundraising, but you can. You mentioned just playing with playing games with the vets. Like, do you all have like certain like I guess like maybe public raids, like where you can go and like set up to go get into a Destiny 2 raid with a vet?
Right, absolutely. Now that's part of our stack program. We have our gaming guild inside the organization is called the Red Shirt Raiders, because if you've ever seen us at events, we're all wearing red. We stand out pretty dramatically in a crowd of people, usually a dozen.
Well, you're also having people do push-ups, so.
That does not hurt either. So, again, unique in the game space. It's just like, what the hell's wrong with these people? But our raiders go out and they will, our big three right now are Destiny, trying to think, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, Overwatch is another big game. I'm trying to think what else. There's a couple other Battlefield, you know, games where we've got small communities within, you know, that get together on a regular basis and interact and play with one another. And, you know, usually like latest and greatest games come out, we'll do something with them. But that's a great way to get involved as well. Even just getting out and becoming a part of those organizations. Those guys, we reach out to developers and publishers and say, hey, we've got a bunch of veterans and supporters who want to, you know, like, for instance, we have Elder Scrolls Online coming out on the 6th with Bethesda.
Yeah.
Our raiders have been invited to come out and play the game. And it's very much like, all right, if you want an early access copy of the game and you all want to play together, we can all play the game early. And, you know, membership comes with its privileges where it's, you know, you're interacting with veterans, you're interacting with people in your community. It's a good, positive place to hang out and interact and, you know, stay social, where it gets pretty easy to kind of lop yourself off from society at times where
in
the game, so.
Responses.
Adrian, you like to take first on this one? I feel like I've been talking all the time here.
go ahead, Matt.
All right. Well, I'll roll with it then. I don't know. I feel like I just have a lot to say here. I just want to make sure.
No, go for it, Ben.
Because I really enjoy this episode. I really enjoy talking to him. Or I guess at this point, listening to him. Even though I did kind of think it was a little funny. I thought he was going to pull Rick Perry and forget his top three big games for a second. The big guilds. But moving on there. I like how they play for support. And not only just getting the privileges, I guess, of getting early access, which is really crazy and awesome that developers do that. I'm a little jelly about them getting to play Morrowind. for all of us. But still, that the developers actually will come and actually interact and help them too to help make this possible. Not just the fact that StackUp does it, but they actually have the teamwork and the developers allow it as well. I guess playing with veterans, I think, is great. I don't think he really touches on it. He mentions it at the beginning, but it's something that is growing. Like, and I guess his organization happens where it turned into a mental health type thing where you just sit there and talk and it relieves stress. And he talks, if you watch the full interview, about post 9/11 vets coming back all the time with PTSD. And it happens all the time. And just playing video games seems to relax them. They're starting to do studies with it. I mean, it's crazy what video games do for the brain for people that have seen traumatic experiences or been like isolated, like you said, for long amounts of periods of time.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the largest things is if you've ever dealt with anxiety or depression or PTSD, it's so easy to wall yourself off. And then if you couple that with the fact that you're now being thrown into a life that you haven't lived for, you know, a year or two at a time. Sometimes people do way more than just two tours back to back. Like when you put that all together, it's really easy to shut down. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so blown away by the community aspect, because it's a way to get somebody to engage without making them leave their house. If there are triggers in the outside world that trigger a PTSD response, you can still have growth and health in something that you love and still get to talk to people about it through video games.
See, I think that's one thing I did, because I kind of did a little more research, because I knew for a while, like years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, when the Wii came out, they were using it for a nursing home to try to rehabilitate people. And I knew it moved into virtual reality. It was a big thing with PTSD. And so I kind of did a little more research and actually found out that there's a lieutenant, retired, I believe it's an army lieutenant, I believe, I'm not 100% sure, I'm sorry, Fred, by the name of Rob Gibson, who did a podcast on the Veteran Resource Podcast on video gaming, in which they actually mentioned Steve and how they work together. And this guy literally just sits around, plays video games, and researches his brain to help, to just not only help himself, but help other veterans like him in PTSD. But that was just something really interesting find I found when researching some of this stuff. So, yeah.
What about you, Adrian?
I think y'all said it all, at least for that part. I mean, it's hard because, like, what Steve says is pretty straightforward. Like, at least in that part specifically, like, they're doing great work. And I know we've said it over and over and over again, but, you know, their community aspect is through the roof and they really care about what they're doing. So I don't really know how much more I have to add for that section.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can only give praise, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think too.
really get the point.
I think this really shows at the heart of it why video games matter. And I think it also shows why people get so obsessed with franchises. We had a Lara Croft episode. We're going to have more video game episodes in the future. But the reason people get attached to these are, you know, a lot of the times not just because they're living another life in a video game, but because they're actually forming bonds with people. I think we've said it before. Shout out to Ace of Big Mountain, who edits this podcast. We met him playing Ark.
Yeah.
Well, actually, technically, Adrian and Matt met him playing Ark first.
Yeah, and I'm glad I didn't kill you on that beach that one day.
Yeah, pretty much. We decided
to be nice getting ready people. To shoot you.
Yep. Yes.
And I mean, the type of bonds that you can form, I mean, mental health is something that is really stigmatized. And I think in people who are supposed to be seen as heroes and strong, admitting that you need help in these aspects can be really hard. And you talked about it in the beginning, like guys who wouldn't talk to anybody, you can talk to the guy you're running a raid with.
You have to.
You have to talk to the other person you're running a raid with.
Or you fail.
Yeah, well, but what I'm saying is, but you don't have to talk to him about the stuff you're going through.
No, but you have, I mean, no matter what, you're not in isolation because we need you or we are going to fail.
Yeah.
Whether it's whatever you're talking about, it's one of those, we have to have you, we need to communicate or we're all going to fail together.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about that that 8-hour raid you all had with Asa.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Memories.
That was fun, though.
It was. That was
real fun. Shout out Asa and our other British family.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, don't play Ark Survival unless you want to lose, like, months of your life.
Also true. Very, very true. Very true.
It is uninstalled from my Xbox.
Don't blame you. All right, so let's get to the last part. I believe we talk about where they go next. Yep. What they're doing next.
I guess, just a final question. What's your next big event, and where can people find you at? What con are you going to next? How... stuff like
our next big one is E3.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have a dozen guys out there flying folks out. We've got a couple locals that are coming in to support, but we'll have an Airbnb where all of us are together, and we turn it into kind of this community event where everybody gets together and we get to interact with the, you know, we get to cut lines and get hands-on with games that, you know, E3 is turning into more of a public show versus a, you know, private industry thing. So
oh, definitely
might be a little interesting this year, but fortunately, again, we're able to tell our story to the developers, and usually we can, you know, scoot right in. Like we're working with Sony and Microsoft to get, you know, some blocks of time to get our guys over to their parts. But yeah, E3, awesome. we're doing that, and then we'll be doing a tour of Bungie Studios there in LA. So while we're out there, so. Definitely be one of our more interesting air assault programs. It'll be should be pretty big. So, but that's the next one, and then right off of that, we're doing an event at Wounded Warrior headquarters in Jacksonville, Florida, for the CEO of Wounded Warrior to kind of show them what it is we do and why all the kids are raving about SmackDown.
Well, what are these video games?
Yeah, he's a retired general. So his ass doesn't get it, but it's the idea. It is. That's I'm just saying. He's a good dude, but it's very much like I don't understand you kids.
Yeah, and I said that was the last question, but it was totally a lie because I want to know this. Just I mean, as a podcast, like our main thing is why does it matter? I'm sure you get asked that question a lot.
Mm-hmm. The charity itself.
Yeah.
Well, again, we're reaching out. All these organizations are struggling to come up with a common language with these post 9/11 veterans, and gaming is one of those things that just cuts across just such a swath of the population. I mean, it's rich, poor, young, old, like we are everywhere, and we're like, and you could kind of see that with the perfect example was last year's the Pokemon Go fascination that kind of swept the country, where just all these people just standing up like they'd been activated like Russian sleeper cells, running into the streets, and it's like what the heck? Like front page of every national newspaper. Yeah. Like,
and you saw them in 30-year-olds and 3-year-olds.
Yep, it was everywhere. So the game wasn't even that good. It was just like game. So it was very much like so that's the kind of energy that we are drawing from our organization. And that's why all these veterans organizations are kind of looking at us like, what are they doing? Like they want to break into that kind of population. Cause again, it's a shared language. Doesn't matter where you're coming from or who you know about Master Chief, you know about, my words, Nathan Drake and you know, the big names within gaming. And it's just like, you know about these things, and it's, you don't have to know or like each other or come from the same socioeconomic background, but you know, you can talk about, again, Destiny raids or World of Warcraft raids or something like that. And that's the thing that brings us all together across the board. So
I really love that line. Which one? It is something that I will probably steal when I eventually go back into academia. That video games are common language.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of the time when I was in the academy, like, I would get asked, why does pop culture matter? And I can never really explain it as eloquently as he did. I was just like, well, people, if you say may the force be with you, chances are the 20 other people in the coffee shop, 15 of them are going to turn around and want to respond to you because they know exactly what you're talking about. Or they see your shirt and you strike up a conversation while you're waiting in line. And that's because pop culture and video games is it's kind of what he talks about in the beginning. It's this through line through people's lives, and it's a common language. Like, I could not agree with somebody on anything, and I could probably still talk about how much Hearthstone or Hearthstone will put me on tilt because of the random chance in that game.
RNG has become pretty much something. I guess an acronym would be the correct term.
What about you, Adrian?
I mean, I just don't want to keep repeating what you're saying because you just said it so well. I mean, I'm just kind of, I think, okay, so I'm not going to, okay, well, I guess I'm going to say the same thing you said, because you said something at the beginning of the podcast, and I wrote it down because I liked it so much, and it said you said the stuff we love can be used for good, and I think that is basically his whole theme for why he's doing what he's doing. And I think you really get it in that last little segment that he just did.
Yeah. I really don't know how much more we can add.
Well, I mean, he can't be mad at us. He thought we were going to Mystery Science Theater himself. Or yeah. 3000 him.
That was what he signed off with.
But, the common language of video games, I mean, it is what it is today. It's popular. Games are huge.
And he mentioned it before, like, the people who are playing Farmville on their tablets or playing Minecraft on their Xbox or on the computer.
How do you go from Farmville to Minecraft? Because it's a
video game, Matt. It is a video game. It is we're being immersed in technology. And
I would never accept Farmville as a video game. I'm sorry.
Okay. The people playing COD and Hearthstone and Minecraft and anything like that, it's teaching people how to interact with the world. It's teaching people how to interact with each other. And he said it, like, they're going to be our future senators and they're going to be our future soldiers. And we kind of charities need to adapt to that. Because that's where people are moving towards. Nobody wants those cans of yams. Except for maybe, like, during Thanksgiving and the homeless shelters, because I volunteer there and they really do need yams. So, like, send those. But your vets, maybe not so much. So I think that is it for our episode one of Missions That Matter. I will include all the links to the Stack Up website and those within it. I will make it super easy for you. I will hyperlink everything. That way, if you want to stream, just go to the stream link. You want to get a stack up and going in your home base, I'll get a link for that too. You want to touch base with Adrian in El Paso, I'll get that. Make it super easy for everybody to get involved. Just real quick, you can find Steve on Twitter at Shanghai6, Shanghai_6. And then you can find Stack Up at stackup.org, all spelled out, stackupdotorg. And then they also have a Twitch channel, which I believe is twitch.tv/stackup.org. I'll include it all in the show notes. But their website is stack-up.org. I'll include all the show notes, guys.
Those of the people that want to listen to the whole interview.
And you can find the full interview, which we did not include in its entirety just for the sake of time, at our website, butwhythoughpodcast.com. And as always, rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps other people find us. And you can find the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at ButWhyThoughPC, as well as twitch.tv/ButWhyThoughPC. And you can find me at OhMyMythRandier on Instagram and Twitter, as well as my own Twitch channel, twitch.tv/OhMyMythRandier. Matt?
You can find me on Twitter at datm18, DATTM18. I'll also be on the But Why Though podcast Twitch channel on at least Mondays and Fridays, for the most part. And I guess whatever other time I feel like it. It's a busy schedule.
Adrian?
You can find me on Twitter at SuperRuiz93, SuperRuiz93. And if you are interested in, you know, joining the El Paso Stack, we'll put my Stack Up Gmail in the show notes.
So official.
I know. They got the G Suite and everything.
And as always, guys, have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.